Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good morning. This is Elder Lewis Gray coming into your ear gate on this Tuesday. Amen. God is good and he is worthy to be praised. And as I say every Tuesday, if you have breath in your body, you owe God a praise. The scripture lets us know that let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. And I praise him today because he woke me up this morning, started me on another day's journey. And as I say what my grandma would say, he didn't have to do it, but he did. He woke you up this morning. It wasn't that alarm clock. It wasn't that person that gave you a nudge. It wasn't that person that called your name this morning. But it was Jesus that woke you up this morning and gave you breath in your bodies. I had a accident back in 1998. Many of you I've shared this testimony with, but I was involved in a car accident, and one of the things that was damaged was my lungs, and I punctured those lungs. And when you puncture your lungs, it becomes extremely difficult to breathe. And so you never realize how you understand after you can't breathe, understanding just how precious breath is. And so I can understand what the psalmist said, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord, because life and breath is important. So I thank God, amen, for being alive today in the land of the living. Good morning to you, you, and you. I thank God for you joining in. If you're in your cars, your office, or your home, don't touch that dial. You're not here by accident, but you're here by divine appointment. It is your appointment that you are here. You're not here by accident, but you're here by divine appointment. And I believe that God has a word for you today. And so I thank God for you that have joined in, for those that have listened to me for these, I think it's going on, be 2 years in December. I will have been on the broadcast here, and it is by the grace of God that I am here. And I thank God for WWBC, for this platform to be able to come into your ear gate. And so again, I appreciate you. If you follow me every Tuesday, I thank God for you, because you are what it's all about. It's ministering to the word, ministering the word of God to the people of God. And so I thank God for you, you, and you. Sending a shout out to my pastor, Pastor Barbara Kimbrough. Praise the Lord. Good morning, woman of God. I love you. To her husband, President Charlie Kimbrough, as well. Good morning to you, sir. Love you as well. To my beautiful wife, Minister Frieda Gray. Praise the Lord to you. I love you. And I'm not sure whether you've gotten to the job yet. Not sure what time you had to go in today. I think you were going to go in a little bit later. But if you're listening, and or we listen to this later, I love you as always. And I want to call to your attention, we are in revival at True Pentecostal Community Temple Church of the Apostolic Faith all week this week. The revival began last week. Guest speaker is Bishop Frank Mortimer and his wife, Pastor Sandra Mortimer, who is the psalmist. Bishop is basically the one that's speaking, but we thank God for the both of them. We had a tent revival earlier this summer, and it was such a blessing to my spirit and to the church's spirit. And they came back again, and this time it's not on the outside, but it's on the inside. And our services are at 7:30 each night, all this week, Monday through Friday. Again, it began last night. He brought a powerful word, and it resonated in my spirit. And I thank God for these beautiful people of God. Again, that is Bishop Frank Mortimer and his wife, Psalmist Pastor Sandra Mortimer. Beautiful people of God. He is a man sent from God, and I thank God for him. Thank God for the word that he rendered on last night. So come out to our services all week this week. Come out to lift up the name of Jesus. but that's what it's all about. It's about lifting up the name of Jesus. He said that if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me and come out and help us lift up the name of Jesus. So again, that is 7:30 each night, Monday through Friday this week. They are from Atlanta, Georgia, I believe. And so come out. I trust you will get a word from the Lord. And so I thank God for you again being here today. So without further ado, we're going to go into the word because time flies. And so I want to give you something, amen, before I get out of here. And it can be found in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 6. And I'm going to read into your ears verses 9 through 11, verse 12 and 19 through 20. Again, that is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11, verses 9 through 11, verse 12, verse 19 through 20. If you're writing, just remember 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Amen. Just read that whole chapter. But again, amen. Let me read what thus saith the Lord. It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Amen. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Hallelujah. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for blessing us to gather again today. And thank you for using me for this platform to be able to speak to your people. I don't take it lightly, Lord, but I take it as an awesome responsibility to be able to render your word to your people as well as unto me. For Lord, your word is a two-edged sword. It cuts both way. Paul said that I keep it under my body and I bring it under subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached unto others, I find myself to be a castaway. And so, Lord, I thank you today. Pray for those that are in leadership, our government, president, Congress, our Supreme Court, our pastors, teachers, amen. Just be with them. Give them what it is that you would have for them to say unto your people in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I want to deal from a thought from the very first verse of that we read, which was verse number 9. It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." And then he goes on in verse number 10, says, "Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." I want to deal from a thought that, be not deceived, sin is still wrong. Be not deceived, sin is still wrong. Here, the great apostle, he is writing to a church at Corinth. This is a church that Paul had established on his second missionary journey. Corinth, at the time, it was a major cosmopolitan city. It had a seaport, and it was a major trade center, and it was made up of mostly Gentiles. And so this was a major city. And the one thing about Corinth, it was a sinful city. It was a city that dealt with prostitution. Marriages were on shambles. There were all kinds of things that were going on in Corinthian. Every conceivable sin. Amen. And so with all of this sin around them, the Corinthian church, they were struggling with this environment because they were surrounded by so much corruption and every conceivable sin. There was they felt pressured to find a way to adapt. And although they knew they were free in Christ, amen, they didn't know what this freedom actually meant. They were being attacked with all kinds of pervasive sins, immorality, amen, all kinds of things that they were surrounded by. And many of them, they were giving in to these pressures. And I talked, I believe it may have been last week or the week before, is that be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. They were like they didn't know how to deal with the pressures of sin that was all around them. And so what happened was they were giving in to this sin. And so there was sin that had crept into the church. Sins that were going on that Paul gets wind of, that's happening in the church. Hallelujah. He hears their struggles and so he had to address these issues. There were also divisions that was going on in the church. And so Paul's purpose of writing this particular epistle was to identify the problems and address them and give solutions. Amen. And to teach the believers to live for Christ in a corrupt society. Much like Paul's day, we are living in a corrupt society. And we have to be able, as people of God, to be able to tell the people of God, as preachers of God, to be able to tell the people of God how to live a sinless life in a sinful society. Now, some might say, well, you can't live sinless. But there is a mindset that we have to have. That is to strive for perfection. And so many people have taken the mindset that because none of us are perfect, we choose to adapt to sin. We choose to say that because we're not perfect, amen, we're going to live. There's no hope. We might as well live in sin. But Christ Jesus has freed us from sin. Look what Paul says. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, he tells us that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So that means that they are righteous. He is telling us that the unrighteous. And note who Paul is writing to. He is writing to the church. He is not writing to the sinners, but he is writing to people of God. Because what was happening was, because Christ had died, because Jesus had died and he had he died for our sins, amen, they thought it meant that because he took away the sins that they were free to live as they please. Hallelujah. They thought because Christ had taken away the sin, they were able to live as they please. Hallelujah. But can I tell you somebody, tell you today, amen, that because Christ has taken away our sins does not give us the license to do what we know is sin. Hallelujah. There are some actions that are not sinful, but also are not appropriate. So these people thought that they had a license to sin. Hallelujah. But Paul had to address them. He had to address the situation. He said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. Be not deceived. There are people today telling us that it's okay God knows your heart. You can continue to do as you've always done. None of us are perfect. Today, it's hard-pressed to find preachers who will preach on sin, who will preach on hell. But as men and women of God who preach the word of God, we've still got to tell people, amen, that sin is still wrong. Amen. And that sin is what separates us from God. That same sin that separated Adam and Eve and got them kicked out of the garden, amen, that meant that they were separated from God. That same sin today will also separate us from God. It says, be not deceived. Don't allow people to fool you into thinking that it's okay to fornicate. Look what he said. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate men that are acting like women. God loves the sin that loves this the sinner, but yet he hates the sin. You know, there's some things that our children do. We love them, but yet we hate some of the things that they do. That's just like Jesus. He loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. Sin is still sin, no matter who does it. And we've got to be, as men and women of God who preach the gospel, be able to tell somebody, amen, that be not deceived. Sin is still wrong, and sin will still lead you to a devil's hell. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. He's just giving you some of those. If you do these things, there are other things that will keep us from going to heaven. But he's just mentioning a few of these. Nor extortion shall inherit the kingdom of God. And look what he said. And he says, and such were some of you. Were is past tense. See, if I come to Christ, if I am in Christ, I should not be doing the same thing I did before I came to Christ. Hallelujah, somebody. I shouldn't be doing the same thing that I did before I came to Christ. He says, such were some of you. I'm guilty as charged. I'll raise my hand and say, I did some of these things. I did some of these things. But Christ freed me. He set me free. How did he set me free? I was washed in the blood. See, when you washed in the blood, when you've been baptized in Jesus' name, filled with his Holy Ghost, you can say, I'm justified now. Yes, I was guilty. I was one of those that the abuser, I was the drunkards, the revilers, the extortioners, amen, the thieves, the liar, the cheater. I'm guilty. I raised my hand. That was me. That was me. That's not who I am now. And that's how we should be. None of us can be continuing in these things and yet say that we are of God. Paul tells us that we're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. We're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. But they thought that because Christ had taken away their sin, that they were at liberty to live as they please. Many in the church today have been misled to believe that because Christ died on the cross, we're free to still live as we've always lived. But look what Paul says in another passage of scripture. It says, so shall we then continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul replies with a resounding, God forbid. Shall we continue in sin because of God's grace? God forbid. We think that because God showed us grace and mercy on the cross, because he died, them weren't his sins, they were our sins. But he died for them. Not so that we can continue to live in sin. See, Christ freed us from sin. Hallelujah. See, when we're freed from sin, We become obligated to serve him, which ought to be our reasonable service. We ought to be reasonable. He said, and such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. It takes his Spirit. If you don't have his Spirit, you can't live saved. You can't live a sinless life. I'm not saying that we're perfect, but we're striving for perfect. Your mindset changes. See, when we were in sin, we our minds were on sin continuously. But when we're saved and filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, our mindset is on what can I do to refrain from sin. My God, be not deceived. Sin is still wrong. Hallelujah. Paul says that you think that in essence, all things are lawful unto me. That yes, there are some things that Christ has allowed us to do within the body of Christ that are not sinless, that are not sinful. It says all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. There are some things that are not considered sin, but they're not expedient for us to do them. The Bible says that we ought to shun the very appearance of ungodliness. There's some things that are not sin, but they just appear wrong. They don't look right. That's how your mind changes when you come to God. You don't even want to be put in a place where something doesn't look right. Just to give an example, a man going over a woman's house at night, and they're both to be both saved and they're not married. And they're in there for hours. They could be in there studying, but it doesn't look right. See, all things are lawful, but not expedient. And Paul said, I will not be brought under the power of it. He said, I would not allow myself to be subject to this, to where I'm criticized. See, we're not only to try and refrain from sin, we're to avoid the very appearance of sin. And look what he says. When we skip to verse 19, he said, what, know ye not? Your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. See, when Christ died on the cross, he paid our ransom. Hallelujah. He paid the price. We're no longer ourselves, but we're bought with a price. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Our bodies no longer belong to ourselves. If we're of Christ, that means that we have the temple of the Holy Ghost. You know what? I'm reminded of my grandmama, and you hear some of your parents say that, boy, girl, if you choose to live here, you got to live according to my rules. What person you know can go live with somebody else, live in their house, and tell them how it ought to go down? That person will kick you out right away. When you're bought with a price, when you receive the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, that temple becomes possession of God. Your bodies become possessions of God. Paul, going in and up a few passages of scripture, said, shall you be joined to a harlot? Hallelujah. There are people that are claiming to be saved, going out committing fornication, going out committing adultery, going out lying. God forbid. And they're being told that this is okay. You're a work in progress. Yes, we are a work in progress. But the Bible said, but if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Our mindset changes. If you love me, you wouldn't hurt me. Hallelujah. Be not deceived. Sin is still wrong. I don't have a whole lot of minutes to talk about this and give it the justice that it needs. But just in this few minutes that I was able to tell you,
Sin is still wrong. We got to preach on sin. We've got to tell people that you can't live any kind of way and still say that you're on the way to heaven. God forbid. Shall we continue in sin? Hallelujah. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. When you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, you've got to get out of the sin business. Hallelujah. You've got to seek that which is right. You've got to take on His Spirit. Amen. We're on a path to try and live a sinless life. We're not on that path. When Paul was called of God, he was on his road to Damascus. But then he saw the light. And you know what? God sent him to Straight Street. See, we've got to be on the road to a straight and narrow way. We can't stay on Broadway. Broadway is where anything goes. But the straight and narrow gate, you can't bring everything in. Hallelujah. So I just stopped by to tell you today, amen, be not deceived. Sin is still wrong. And again, Paul asked the question, shall we then continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Hallelujah. And I'm going to leave you again with what Paul says before I get off. He said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. Be not deceived. Sin is still wrong. So, amen. I'm out of time, but not out of word. Join me again on next week at the same time. Amen. Same channel. I'll be here if the Lord says the same. Amen. To give you a word from the Lord. Again, you're not here by accident, but you're here by divine appointment. If you heard what the Lord had to say today, it was meant for you. Amen. Because He said that His word would not return void. It will accomplish that for which it was sent. Receive it. Go with it. Tell somebody that in spite of the society that we're living in today, amen, in a permissive society, sin is still wrong. Amen. And God's going to judge it. Hallelujah. You pray my strength in the Lord. And so until next week, you be blessed in the Lord.
We here at True Pentecostal Community Church invite you out to our services, which are as follows. On Sunday morning, our Sunday school services begin at 10 a.m. Our Sunday morning services begin at 11:40. And due to the COVID-19, our weekday services begin at 6 p.m., which our Bible studies are on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. And our youth services are on Thursdays at 6 p.m. as well. And we trust that you'll come out and have a high time and worship the Lord with us. Our church is located at 16 South Wilson here in the great city of Cocoa, Florida. You be blessed throughout the week. I remember when the choir